Introducing the Local Pastor Profiles Podcast, your window into the lives and ministries of pastors faithfully serving evangelical churches in your local communities. Hosted by Jeremy G. Woods and brought to you by Faith Venture Media and EvangelicalDirectory.com, this podcast is dedicated to showcasing the impactful work of evangelical churches making a difference in their local communities. Through engaging interviews, each episode provides a platform for local pastors to share their unique journeys, the meaningful programs they lead, and their unwavering commitment to serving the Lord. Discover the personal stories behind these dedicated leaders and learn how you can join their church on this journey. Tune into the Local Pastor Profiles Podcast for insightful conversations that highlight the essential role of pastors in building strong, connected communities. These churches are also featured on evangelicaldirectory.com. Subscribe now and join this movement of connecting local churches with their communities.
You're listening to the Local Pastor Profiles Podcast, where we highlight the stories of faithful pastors making an impact in their local communities. Our goal is to introduce you to the ministries serving in your area and share how God is working through these leaders to advance his kingdom. I'm Jeremy G. Woods, Church Growth Coach and CEO at Faith Venture Media, and President of Potter's House Ministries Romania. Today, we're honored to welcome Pastor Mike Cooper of South End Baptist Church in Frederick, Maryland. Pastor Mike has been in ministry for 38 years, and has served as pastor of South End Baptist for the past 8 years. He and his wife, Debbie, have been married for 38 years and are blessed with two adult daughters. We'll be discussing his journey in ministry, how South End Baptist is serving Frederick, and how you can connect with and support their work. Welcome, Pastor Mike.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Can you introduce yourself and share how you came to serve at South End Baptist?
Well, I was serving out in the Midwest where I'm from. I'm actually originally from Missouri. That's my home state. And when I was out there serving as a local church pastor, we've been out here to visit a time or two at Virginia Beach and really liked the area, the East Coast, and we prayed about it. And just so I just kind of sent some feelers out there, never really expecting to hear anything. And then I was contacted by this church. And then about a year later, they contacted me again. And so that's how it kind of works in Baptist churches. And then they chose to begin the process with me. In our tradition, it's pretty much where the person, the committee decides on a person. They bring you what they call a call weekend, and you spend a lot of time talking to lots and lots of people who ask you lots and lots of questions. And your family even gets grilled as well, which is kind of a weird thing. My wife doesn't really like that very much. But anyway, and then you preach for the congregation and they vote on you and determine whether they want you to be their pastor. They voted on me and I came in, and that was back in like February of 2017. We moved here in March of 2017. So I have been here ever since. It's been quite an interesting ride, in the process, our oldest daughter and her husband moved out this way. They were also living in Missouri, but then they came out and moved in a nearby community about 30 minutes away where they both work and have bought a home and are very happy. So we're kind of settled in here out the East Coast. So that's kind of the shortest version, I guess, I can give of a snapshot of who I am and how I got here.
And praise God. Thank you. So what makes South End Baptist unique in Frederick, Maryland?
It's a smaller church, a church about 100 to 150. We've been here for about over 60 years, a few years ago. It is a mission of First Baptist Church here in town. Unfortunately, First Baptist Church closed its doors a couple of years ago. So we're just kind of their legacy of ministry. We were started here in a neighborhood that was at the time, Frederick, Maryland was a community of about 15 to 20,000 people. And this was on the outskirts of Frederick in a park. And so they thought, well, near a park. So we'll start a church out there reaching a part of Frederick. At that time, it was the South End. Now you would call it Midtown because Frederick has exploded. It's a community of about 200 plus thousand people now with a variety of churches. And our church kind of still has that. It's a working class church is kind of what it is. Middle. That's where the folks that we tend to have in our fellowship, we're getting older. Unfortunately, like a lot of churches are struggling with that. But we hope what makes us unique is that we emphasize the gospel, biblical preaching, and we have a really strong children's ministry of called Awana that you probably are familiar with. And I don't know, kind of a, excuse me, now I got the cough going, a little non-denominational ministry that's been very successful for the last several years. We have some folks that have really done a great job of leading that in our community. And we've been able to engage our neighborhood in some interesting ways and have actually seen some folks in our neighborhood start attending at our church, which is kind of a weird thing that I've not experienced other places I've been. So.
And so what are some key ways your church is serving and impacting the local community?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first part of that.
What are some key ways your church is serving and impacting the local community?
Some of those ways, obviously, we mentioned the Awana ministry. Another one is our food pantry food that we opened about 3 years ago with the help of our folks at our state convention had a grant. And so we took hold of that. And we've been able to minister to roughly 35 to 40 families a month is what we are able to reach pretty regularly. And because we are in an area where there's declining income and everybody's struggling with a variety of things that have gone on here for the last several years. And so we've been able to minister in that way. We also engage in a neighborhood activity, the National Night Out that takes place every year across the country. We host one in the park, which backs up to our property. And we are kind of the gophers for that. We provide the tables, chairs, and we have a lot of folks that are out there. It's a great way to engage folks. It's in, we'll have probably 500-600 people come out on that night. In the park, it's just kind of like a block party in a sense, provided led by the police department and others that kind of bring folks out just to kind of engage folks, and we get to meet a lot of folks that way. We also, in our regular activities, worship, we seek to try and engage folks in our Bible studies and in various small groups that meet throughout the area. We've been just began that. A gentleman in our church is really kind of spearheading that. Starting off with our first, I think he has four small groups, and they're just starting to take off and trying to find ways to catch people outside the four walls of our church. So we're starting. Those are just some of the things that we can do. We try to do and just try to understand that we are a part of a larger kingdom, and we want to just do our part to reach out and encourage people to come to know Christ.
Can you share a specific story of how God has worked through your church's ministry?
Well, several. I'm going to pick on the food pantry first. That's been kind of the most interesting one because it's really in the neighborhood. Now, we reach more than just the neighborhood, obviously. There's a lady in our church that's really kind of done a great job of taking some ownership of that, and she really does a good job of publicizing that. And it happened about a year ago. I was in the park. The park has basketball goals, and I'm a wannabe basketball player. I go out and shoot around just kind of as a relaxation. And I was playing a little pickup game with some guys, and we started having a chat. And he noticed the church. He goes, "You know anything about that church over there?" I said, "Yeah, I'm the pastor." He said, "Oh, cool." So then he started talking. And it turns out that he was someone that we had helped with food. His family was kind of struggling. He had lost his job. His wife still was working, but they were kind of struggling. And he just thanked me for us providing that opportunity. I said, "Well, you're welcome to join us. You know the usual. And your pastor, the usual thing you talk about is, well, you're welcome to join us for worship. Glad we could help." But that was just kind of an interesting way that I'd connected with someone just in a casual meeting that was being impacted by what we were doing. So a lot of that stuff you do, you never know what kind of impact you're doing. And I know those things can get abused. I'm well aware of that. I've been involved in those kind of ministries for everywhere I've served. And but it's been interesting to see how folks have responded to that in the neighborhood. And we're kind of known as that church, which is better than being known as that church that just sits there. We're a church that tries to help. And so we try to do what we can. And that's kind of hopefully we're rebranding ourselves in a sense and changing our image and becoming more of a church that truly cares and about our neighborhood and wants to help them in any way we can.
So about your personal testimony, how did you come to know Christ and what led you into pastoral ministry?
Well, I won't go too long. That's a long story. I was actually raised in a home. I was adopted as an infant. And so my parents who raised me were, I was involved in church before I was, could as far back as I can remember. It was actually an independent Baptist church. We lived in the little town of Hutchinson, Kansas, way out in the other part of the prairie. And while I was there, got involved in, they had a great children's ministry and other things, and heard the gospel was presented to me in the great media technology of the 70s, known as the flannel board. And so I experienced a lot of that. But the great folks who loved the Lord and, you know, presented the gospel. And eventually one day we'd have a thing called children's worship or children's church. A gentleman came and shared the gospel as plainly as could be through the Romans Road and John 3:16. And through that experience, God pretty much had, you know, with the influence of my parents and others, had tendered my heart. And that day I surrendered and gave my life to Christ as a child, and was baptized just a few months later, as was the custom pretty much in our church. But then we moved away, and so went to other churches. And through that time, God discipled me, brought several people into my life, Sunday school teachers, a couple of youth pastors, my hope pastor from the church that I really consider my home church, the church that I grew up in from the time I was about 9 years old till I got out of high school and went into college. And he was really good about encouraging us be involved in the ministry, even as teenagers. He'd go out with us. We'd go out with him on visitation. We'd do other things that he would take us to. And so I kind of became one of his little guys that kind of hung around with him, along with several others. And then over time, really struggled with what I should do with life. Was going to go become a journalist, a sports journalist, because I love sports and I can write. That's just one of the things that God has given me as a gift. And I was ready to do that, preparing to go to the University of Missouri for J school and all that kind of fun stuff. And then God intersected and had a different plan. He made it very clear that he wanted me to give my life to something else. It kind of began when I was in high school and went on a mission trip and had an encounter we were doing door-to-door visitation and talking to folks, and was spending time with a young lady, and she was babysitting her siblings. I mean, another young lady were with her talking, and it was the first time I ever encountered someone. And I, you know, if I was snowed, I was snowed. But I told her we were from the Baptist church and we were just kind of checking people out and wanting to tell them about Jesus. And she didn't know who Jesus was. She thought he was a cuss word. Literally, that's what she told me. And I said, no, he is. And we shared the gospel with her. I would love to say she prayed to receive Christ. She did not. But it was opened my eyes to what really is outside of the Bible Belt in which I grew up in. My hometown at the time I was growing up had about 85 churches. It's a town of 20,000. So we were saturated with a lot of churches. This was a different part of the world. And that's really kind of where the calling began for me, that there's more to it than what I thought. And God has opened up many opportunities for me to serve. And so when I was in high school, my senior year, I surrendered to what we call a Christian ministry in our church, full-time Christian ministry, and said, okay, God, whatever you want to do, I will do. And changed my plans and went to a Baptist school where I went to and studied for ministry and really had no idea what I would do. Thought I might be a pastor. Ended up being in youth ministry for 20 years and doing some other things as well, state work and all kinds of crazy stuff. But it was a way that God just began to kind of open my eyes to what he wanted to do. So that's the short version. And in that process in high school, met the young lady who is my wife. And that changed everything, because I, you know, meeting her, it was, other than knowing Christ, is the greatest experience of my life. She has been with me we've been together through some challenging situations, obviously in church life that you have that, everybody does. And it's been an interesting road that the two of us have been able to walk. And we're grateful for that and grateful for each other. And I would not want to take this journey without her in any way. And I'm grateful that she's still sticking by me and putting up with my goofiness.
What's one of the biggest lessons that God has taught you in your 38 years of ministry?
It's going to sound trite, probably. It's not about me. It's not about my name, my agenda, my purposes, my plans, my recognition or notoriety. It's all about exalting him and bringing glory to him and just being faithful. I've never been at a huge church. I've been in bigger experiences, obviously, than this, larger churches, and been around as a state worker, was around a lot of other ministries and those kind of things. But that's not really what our life is about. Our life is about being faithful and being an influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others may know. That's kind of, you know, for lack of a better term the probably the most influential biblical character to me on what ministry looks like is kind of a strange one for some, but it's John the Baptist. And what he says when he's asked what he's going to do, you know, everybody's leaving him to go follow Jesus, and he says, he must increase, I must decrease. And I think that's really the heart of what it means to be a servant of the cross and a servant of our Savior. And that's what I hope that my life has emulated in a lot of ways. So
if someone's new to Frederick and looking for a church, why should they visit South End Baptist?
Well, we believe we have what we're doing what God wants us to do. We're a very interesting lot. That's all I can say. We try to do as many different things as we can to engage people, but we can also help connect people. We're small enough that people can know people, and yet we are large enough and gifted enough that we can do some things that a lot of churches our size aren't able to. Our worship leader is extremely gifted in what she's able to do as she leads our congregation in worship, and we have a lot of folks that partner with her and work with her in that make it a very good worship experience. And we try to engage people in ministry. There's opportunities for everyone to serve in a variety of places. And I think if you're wanting to grow in your faith, that's the best way. At least I have learned in my walk is to serve, and in service you grow. So
what would you say to someone in Frederick who feels disconnected from faith or unsure about attending church? What would you say to someone in Frederick who feels disconnected from faith or unsure about attending church?
Other than knowing their story, trying to find out first what their story is, why they have disconnected, and then, you know, just begin to have the process of kind of walking through that conversation with them and understanding that, and then letting them know that even though you sense that feelings aren't always a demonstration of reality, but God has not disconnected himself from you, and give him another chance and try somewhere else where you might be engaged and see if it's a fit for you. But I think we've all had seasons in life where we get a little disengaged. I've had it in my own life. So I don't think that's anything strange, but it is something that we experience. And so trying to help people understand that. But I think it's not about, I don't have like a one, you know, two or three questions, this is going to fix everything for them, because I can't fix that for them anyway. They're going to have to discover that themselves. Because the other side of my job and what I do is I'm a board certified chaplain. And so I've been through that whole experience of clinical pastoral education, all that, and understanding, and served in a variety of venues, and currently serving as one at a Coca-Cola distribution center up in a community about 30 minutes from here, which has been very interesting. I engage folks that I would never meet in my church, and that's okay. It's been fun. I'm looking, each week is always different. And they have a lot of stuff going on. And some of them are not only far from God, they are angry at God. And if they've ever known him at all. And some of them are, you know, very happy and walking. It's just an interesting dynamic. So, just really, I think more listening and trying to figure out what's going on would probably be the best strategy that I would have, more so than trying to give them a 5-minute talk.
And how can people in the community get involved with or support the work your church is doing?
Probably the easiest first way is to get and check out our church's Facebook page, our service, and our website, kind of see what's there, what's available, kind of gives all of our different service times. We do the Facebook Live on Sunday mornings for our worship services. We do a lot of small groups as well through that and Zoom. Our website is kind of the hub that shows you where all those things are. That would be the first thing. That seems to, for a lot of people today that we encounter, most of the people that come into our church and visit have been on our website or our Facebook page multiple times. That's how they check us out. And so I think that's a great way to, you know, it's non-threatening. You know, we can't track you and tell who you are and go find you. you're anonymous in that sense. I'm sure there are people that can do that. We're not gifted to do that. But anyway, it's a great way to know that, and kind of know if it's, you know, is this something that I would want to be a part of? And I think that's the first place I would encourage people to start.
How can our listeners be praying for you, your family, and South End Baptist Church?
Well, pray for us, and that we would just stay focused on what our Savior's called us to do. That's easy to get distracted, and everybody has their plans and agendas. I just pray that God would keep us focused on what his plans and purposes are for us. I just pray for my wife and my girls. Of course, our oldest is married and living on her own and trying to figure out some things. They're in their 30s and living life, working and doing those kind of things, but still trying to figure out some things. I just pray and ask that you'd pray that both her and our youngest daughter, they're 12 years apart, not intentional, just what happened, the only two we got, but that they would really find their place in his kingdom and what he wants to do. That's always my prayer for them. And if folks would pray that way, that would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up?
I don't have anything particular. I don't know. I'm just grateful for this opportunity and hope it's a help to somebody out there. If they would like to be a part of what God's doing in this part of the country, we'd love to partner with them in that. So not really.
Pastor Mike, this has been an inspiring conversation. Thank you for sharing your heart for ministry in ways that South Bend Baptist Church is making a difference in Frederick. For those listening, if you're in the Frederick area, be sure to check out South Bend Baptist Church and see how you can be part of their ministry. You can find out more information at southbendbaptist.org. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the Local Pastor Profiles podcast at localpastorprofiles.com so you don't miss future conversations with pastors impacting their communities. Until next time, may God bless you in the work that you're doing for his kingdom.
Thank you so much. God bless you as you continue to encourage and share people and help connect people to church fellowships around the country.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Local Pastor Profiles Podcast. I hope you've been encouraged and inspired by the incredible stories of faith, leadership, and service shared today. These pastors are truly making a difference in their communities, and it's a blessing to see how God is using them to advance His kingdom. If you're looking to connect with a local church or want to get involved with any of the ministries you've heard about, be sure to visit evangelicaldirectory.com. There, you can find more information about churches in your area, their service times, and how you can partner with them in serving your community. If this episode resonated with you, we'd love for you to share it with others. Spread the word on social media, send it to a friend, or invite someone to listen who might be seeking a church home. Every bit of support helps these stories reach more people and makes a bigger impact for Christ. And don't forget to subscribe to the Local Pastor Profiles podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. We have more amazing stories to share, and we can't wait for you to hear them. You can also leave us a review. Your feedback helps us grow and continue bringing you meaningful content. Lastly, if there's anything you'd like to share with us, any questions you have, or if there's a local evangelical pastor you think we should feature, feel free to reach out. We love hearing from our listeners and learning how we can serve you better. Until next time, may God bless you, your family, and your community as you walk in faith and seek His will. Stay connected, stay encouraged, and keep reflecting Christ's light wherever you go.